News and views from a non-straight perspective. This is Not Straight Cast. Welcome to Not Straight Cast. I'm Joe.
And I'm Josh.
Hey, Josh, how you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing okay. Maybe a little bit.
Greetings
bitchy.
From Atlanta.
I'm sorry?
I said greetings from Atlanta.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, you see me bitching a lot on Facebook, though, right, about Pittsburgh and their gay community in Pittsburgh.
I have seen you making some interesting comments and posts.
Yeah.
And you're a longtime Berg boy, so.
Well, I think I have a right to bitch about Pittsburgh. I tell you, it's not a place to be gay at, I'll tell you that much, because anything that's gay in the city of Pittsburgh turns to shit after a while. If you're in any position of power, you know, it's like, it seems like it's like a license to act poorly. I don't know why that is, but yeah. Just it seems
well, I was there for 5 years. I kind of threw in the towel, but I still have mad love for Pittsburgh. I really do.
Well, you can view it from a distance,
different perspective,
rose colored glasses. I've lived here all my life. Well, I've lived in the Pittsburgh area all my life. I've lived in Pittsburgh since 2000. So,
and I've lived in so many different places that, you know, it was kind of just like a one of those little tacks on the map or something.
I think you have the smarter idea there, yeah, actually, is that you don't live one place too long. You won't get too used to it there. You won't be dealing with all the bullshit that comes along with it.
Right, because after about 5 years, I kind of get bored. And 5 years was at Pittsburgh, but that's because we had a pandemic. So
you're thinking it would have been shorter if we didn't have a pandemic?
Probably. It was a little hard to move at the time, you know?
Yeah, right.
But I'm happy to be a Southern boy again. So I did catch myself because I still have clients in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And I was writing an email earlier to one of them. It was yesterday or it was either today. And I almost put yens. How yens doing, you know? Because I went to put y'all and I almost put yens. And then I was like, oh, I don't know if that's professional or not. So I was like, okay, let me just switch it back to you all. So
do yens want some product or not? You want some dollars?
Exactly. I'm like, buy some books.
Oh, man. Oh, man. See, I never used the word yens, even though I'm basically from Pittsburgh. You know, because yens is a thing here, but I never used that word.
And see, now that I'm south again, it's just y'all. I'm back to the y'all. Here we go. How y'all doing? You know, like, what's up, y'all?
See, I'm trying to think if I'm Southern too there because I use the word y'all as well.
Yep.
Y'all get going now.
Get out of my house.
Apparently a Midwest thing is to go ahead there and slap your hands on your legs and be like, well, time to go.
You know, I've seen that on TV a lot.
Welp.
That's what they say. Welp. And they go like that and they just slap their hands like.
And they don't say anything else. I mean, I keep saying time to go, but you don't have to say that. You're just like, well.
Yeah, that's like their sign. Like, you know, they just welp and they slap their thighs like, and it's like, boom, like, let's go.
So I think they're trying to say you have nothing else to talk about. And basically, you need to leave now. So,
right.
you've stayed enough of your welcome there. If you keep staying, you're going to overstay it here.
So, right.
Oh, man. Oh, man. But anyways, I'm getting old.
Out from them. You're getting old. Oh, come on, Joe.
Yeah. Well, I at work, I basically have a laptop that work gave me. And then to it, I've connected a 27-inch 4K monitor.
Okay.
So it's a lot of resolution there, but I realized there with the monitor being 4K, the resolution in that monitor size just doesn't quite work for me there because it makes all the text very, very tiny on the screen.
Oh.
And now that I wear progressive lenses there, I have to keep looking through the bottom part of my glasses.
Oh, that's right. You've got those lenses where
they're basically bifocals without the line, basically, is what they are.
Oh, maybe you are getting a little old, Joe.
Well, yeah. I mean, it happens in your 40s, you know.
Don't forget to come visit.
It's going to happen to you, too. Don't worry. Just wait. All of a sudden, one day, you'd be like, I can't read this anymore. And then all of a sudden, you're making the text on your phone bigger. Making the text on your computer bigger.
not done that yet. I do wear contacts, and as you can see today, I have my glasses on. I was not in a
And you're in
contacts
your
mood, so.
early 40s, so it didn't happen to me until my late 40s.
In my early 30s. You're like so off,
You're
Joe.
perpetually 29, right?
I was born in 93, for God's sake.
Sure. And
Oh,
have a bridge I want to sell you, but anyways. So anyways, the long story short here is that I ended up upgrading the monitor from a 27 inch to a 32 inch for my
only
work
5 inches,
monitor.
honey.
Well, I went from 27 to 32. Too
Still, that's only
improbable.
five. In
What?
Galen, to me, that don't seem like much.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about a
Nothing.
27 inch monitor. You're talking about a 5 inch penis?
No.
What are you
Okay,
talking about then?
I think us gay folk are always just, well, not all of us, but our minds are in the gutter when we hear something about inches. And then you're saying 27 to 32. I'm like, well, I'm doing the math in my head. I'm like, that's only 5 inches.
Oh, okay. But you know what,
Okay, my
actually?
mind's in the gutter. Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, you know that you measure screens diagonally,
They're
right? You don't measure them.
diagonal. Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody had to
So
teach me that. Yep.
when you go from 27 to 32 there, it makes the monitor bigger to the point it's almost the size of a television.
Oh, wow.
It
Okay.
barely fits on my desk now at this point. But I tell you what, the difference is amazing, absolutely
But you can
amazing
probably
in regards to it.
see.
I can actually see stuff now, yeah. I actually have to sit back from the monitor so I can actually see everything.
Oh, wow. That's really good.
Yeah, that's made a huge difference, sir. Of course, now I took the 4K monitors, which I actually have two of them, and I put them on my desktop computer. So my desktop, my personal computer, has two 4K monitors now. So now I found like I'm increasing the size and everything there to go ahead there and actually be able to read that there. But I mean, it's good in one way, it's bad in another because I mean, probably my perfect resolution is 2K for a monitor. A lot of people like they'll have like one small computer screen or an iPad. I don't know how they deal with that. I need to have more monitors. It's like it's
I
sad.
actually have.
I have all these monitors everywhere there. It's like even there too. I upgraded my monitors here. I'm going to show you here. So this is the new monitor here. I'm going to show you
Oh,
that.
and I can see myself, everybody.
Yeah. And then above the monitor that you can see yourself on, I basically can monitor the radio station playing all the time.
Right. You know what?
Yeah.
A lot of the people I work with, they have two monitors. And they joke with me because they're like, "You don't have two monitors?" And I'm like, "I haven't made it that far yet, I guess.
Oh
I'm
yeah,
still
go to the
just at
dual
one."
monitors. Oh my God, you'll love it. And it's even like with my work computer there, I have my laptop and I have my main monitor. I have the chat on my laptop screen, so I'm using that there. And then on the main monitor, I have all the other windows that I need. And it
Oh, that's
works
really,
perfectly.
yeah. That's what my like colleagues do. They're like, they can be on like one and then they have other stuff on the other. And I should really do that, but you don't want to see my tabs from work as it is. And I could only imagine if you gave me two monitors, I'm gonna see like double the stuff that I'm looking at right now. I don't think I can handle it. Be a little too much.
Well, there's like some people who like to just minimize everything there. I can't do that, you know? I need to be able to see everything all at once, all at the same time.
That's how I am. Yep.
So I don't know how you do it with just one monitor, anyways. But one thing that screwed me up is that a while back we had a major storm here in Western Pennsylvania. I actually posted it on the Not Streetcast page. It looked like we had a tornado come through.
I saw that.
Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely nuts there. It only, the video is only a minute and a half long. Go on the Not Streetcast page and watch it. But oh my God.
You told me about it the next day, and I was like, I watched it. And I was like, that's insane.
Well, there ended up being some damage there to the apartment that I live in there, to the roof of that, like the gutters that go around like the top of part of the roof. Ended
Oh,
up getting
okay.
damaged there and getting kind of mangled up and everything there. So they're in the process of fixing that right now and everything, so
Well, it
which
was
is
really
good.
intense. Like, we get some crazy storms down here too. I had a tornado warning my first time ever.
Oh wow. Yeah, it's
Like,
just
you
been
know how we
worse
had
this year.
that,
Because we normally don't get tornadoes, and I mean, they actually ended up having a few around here.
let's see, what was it? Remember we had the eclipse thing or whatever going on not too long ago? It all of a sudden got really dark here one day.
And
And
not
I'm
from the
sitting here
eclipse,
kind
huh?
of like, me and the cat are chilling and working, and I was like, what's
And
going
not from
on?
the
And then
eclipse. Not from the
it was
eclipse.
not the eclipse. That was like weeks before, and I checked my phone and it goes off, and there was a tornado warning for right here in Atlanta. I could not believe it because usually everything's always south, east, you know,
Yeah.
but it didn't really have a tornado. No, but it really got dark and we had some crazy thunder and lightning and stuff. But other than that,
Well, the point I was trying to get across with that story about like the tornado coming through is that my power went out for the first time for like 2 hours while I was at work,
ooh.
which is like during the overnight hours. So this happened at 2 a.m. in the morning, okay, which is kind of weird for number one, a storm that strength to come through, and number two, to lose power, okay. So I lost power, and since I work from home, it was kind of like, okay, what am I going to do about the internet? Well, thankfully, I have mobile hotspot on my phone, so I connected up to the internet that way. Got online that way. I was online with my laptop, so I was down to the just this like 14-inch screen on my laptop, and I was literally I felt like I was limping along. People
Yeah.
would call in, I'd be like, yeah, let me go ahead here and we'll take a look at this. It'll take me a little longer than normal because I'm literally limping along because I'm also working in candlelight as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So those
I
candles you gave
haven't.
me before you left actually came in very handy.
The I know I gave you a bunch of candles when I was moving. That's right. And you still have a ton of them. Yeah.
Yeah, so I
I
ended up
had
using
so
some of
many
them there.
candles. And you know what? I still do. Everybody brings me candles. I have candles all over my house. It's crazy. All over my apartment, there's candles.
Well, the sad part is I have these flashlights and I'm holding one up here so Josh can see it there. And they're not particularly like they look like they're bright and everything there, but they're not particularly that bright whenever there's no power in your house at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Right.
So I ended up hanging it off of like one of my curtain rods there, so it was aiming down there. But I ended up getting a lantern.
I was gonna say, you need one of those lanterns that you can
So I got a lantern, which now I can pull up and there
Oh,
we go.
that's cool.
It's a
Okay.
lot brighter now.
I like
So,
that.
but these are like camping lanterns. I actually got two of them there, so I can figure I can actually use these for camping.
Do
So I
you go
got that.
camping?
I do.
Okay.
To the there's a clothing optional gay resort about 2 miles. I'm sorry, like not
Now
two
we
miles,
know why
about
he
2 hours
goes
south of
camping,
Pittsburgh called
friends.
Roseland. You've been there, right?
Oh my gosh, is that the place in West Virginia?
Rucker, West
Or
Virginia is where it's at. Yeah.
I rem yeah, that's in, didn't it have a different name at one point or something?
I don't think so. There's other clubs around here. I'm sorry. There's other resorts around here.
Yeah, because isn't there something in PA too? Like, it seems like everywhere you go, there's always like a gay campground. Like,
There's Camp Davis, which is in Boyers, which is by Slippery Rock.
okay,
And there's Circle
yeah, because I
JJ, which is in
remember.
Ohio, which is like to the west of us here. So there's a variety of different like places to go to that are clothing optional gay resorts that are, like a 2 hour trip away. But the thing is with Roseland, it's very hilly because it's in the mountains of West Virginia. And you would think West Virginia, ooh, but it's probably one of the nicest places I've ever been, to be honest with you.
Yep, West Virginia, wild and wonderful.
Well, they definitely have the wild part and wonderful part there. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, but it's not a bad trip at all. It's a lot of fun.
And to get away from it all, you know?
Right?
To just release and go out and just be in the wilderness and enjoy and not be around all the like modern conveniences, like just to unplug.
And good Lord, do I need a vacation here because it's just kind of like, of all the stupid gay stuff going on in Pittsburgh, I tell you what. Ugh. But anyways, getting back to what I was saying there, it's kind of like you get anybody into a position of power there, and it's just kind of like I don't know whether they get corrupted or whatnot, but it ends up ending badly. It's like, for
Right.
example, even like the Pittsburgh Pride thing, we used to have a thing there where they were getting all these great acts and everything coming to town, But as it turns out there, the person who is running Pittsburgh Pride, which is a guy by the name of Gary Van Horn, was a complete asshole. And then he ended up finally getting run out of town there because of the fact that he decided to impersonate a sheriff, put lights on his car, and then respond to an
Oh,
accident and start directing traffic. That's how he
this
ended
was
up
the
being.
guy that was running the Pride for
Yeah.
Pittsburgh?
So, and then the organization that he had founded there, Delaware Foundation, ended up going bankrupt because they couldn't hold Pride during the pandemic. So it was pretty much like, yeah, this is a farce because that's the reason why this organization exists. It's not to better the LGBT community in Pittsburgh, it's to hold Pride celebrations.
Right. You know what? We had something similar happen. Oh gosh, what state was it? Same kind of thing. They were embezzling money. I
Yeah.
mean, they didn't impersonate a cop, you know, or anything like that, but like all these people donated money and it was like, and then when it was time for the pride, I mean, it was like a shit show. There was like
It's
nothing there.
like,
And
where's the pride at?
it was really ghetto, but him and his boyfriend, why can I not think of where this who this was and where
This
this was
sounds like
at, but
something in West Virginia or Ohio.
it was
You're
one of
nodding your
those
head. Yes.
two. I know it was one of those two. And then it's probably West Virginia, if I remember right. But I remember like I think people started really questioning things because, you know, he was an older gentleman, had a very young boyfriend. All of a sudden he had, you know, he was always at the bars, flashing all this money, buying all these drinks, and had the fancy car and the nice house. And then it's like, oh, it's pride time. And then boom, like it was the shittiest pride ever. And like eventually he got busted and he actually ended up going to jail. You need to do some research on that one for me because I can't remember what his name was, but
I don't know where it's at either. That's the problem. There's not
oh,
enough to
yeah,
go
I
off of here.
know.
Yeah.
It's got to be in West Virginia or Ohio, one of the two. So.
It's kind of like creepy old gay guy ends up being creepy. Huh.
Yes, steals
Shocker.
everybody's money for pride for his
Yeah.
boy toy, gets busted, and then goes to jail. Like, okay. They ran him out of town too. So
See, the
I've
one thing
heard that
I
he's
never want
never
to be
been
is
back.
creepy. Because you were
Yeah.
talking about that, yeah, and it's kind of like, I know I'm getting older, but I don't want to be creepy older, you
You
know? Because,
don't want to be that creepy old guy at the end of the
yeah.
bar. That starts like. It's nice when I go out and somebody buys me a drink or something, but then when it turns into like two or three, and it's almost like they're trying to buy your conversation or just like your attention, it gets creepy. You're like, Then you find, kind of feel sorry for them, but then at the same time, it's like, I don't know, like there's other places you could go, I guess. So, like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, to me, there is kind of like I think as I get older there, and older people are trying to do that to me there. It's kind of like I don't suffer fools gladly. You know, I'm one of those people that I can see through your bullshit right away because being older, you know, you just kind of naturally gain that experience, and just like you know, I'm not willing to put up with this shit. You know, so.
Yeah, see, I love to talk to anybody, and that's one thing I love about traveling and being in sales and everything. So I don't care to talk to anybody, but then once it starts getting to that creep factor, or they try to
Yeah.
like move their hand a certain way, or they like, yeah, like once they try to just take it to that next, it's like, look, you know, it was nice talking to you, but like, I gotta go now. Like,
It's also one of those things there too. It's like the longer you know me, the creepier you can be with me. I'll be honest with you. You know, if you know me for a long time and you want to be creepy, then yeah, sure, go for it. But, you know, if you knew me for like 5 minutes and you're trying to be creepy, no. It doesn't fly.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the way I look at it there.
And you see them all the time. Like I go out and it's just like it blows my mind, you know? And I see the same people. Even when I was with my girlfriend, I hadn't been out in a minute because of surgery and everything. And I went to several places and already here, you know, like I know more people than I think I know, you know? And then that's like I go out and she's looking at me like, who's that? And I'm like, oh, that's da da da.
That's old man Periwinkle.
I gotta give her like the
Hello.
whole sordid story behind him, yeah.
You buy him a drink, he thinks he can go to bed with you.
I'm like, he knows the whole city, honey. Like
Yeah. Right. Oh, man. But anyways, I guess you've been having some car wrecks down there in Atlanta,
My new car.
huh? Oh no, what happened to
Oh
your
my gosh,
car?
I didn't even make it to 5,000 miles. And
Yeah, what did you do?
okay, I was getting ready to host a webinar for work,
So you were coming home
and
basically, right?
yes,
Okay.
I was really craving McDonald's, as unhealthy as that sounds. I really wanted some of those French fries, and I was just like, and I've got a McDonald's like right down the street, like it's 1 mile. So I pull out of my complex, kind of in a hurry, but not, and go see the girls at McDonald's. They all know me by name. Like, hey, Josh, oh, you look great. And I'm like, good. I'm going to host this webinar. Thanks, y'all. Like, da 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 da.
Blush.
I'm coming home, get back. I'm pulling into my same parking spot that I park in every day. And I hit the neighbor's brand new Tesla with my brand new car.
Oh
I'm
no.
pulling in.
Oh no. Oh no.
It never fails. Like every car I get, whether it's me or somebody else, it doesn't take 5,000 miles. It's literally got 4,400 miles on it. I took it to the body shop today.
Okay.
They're going to fix it next Tuesday. It was very minor.
W
They
what did you end
need
up doing to your car?
all it is some little orange thing on the bumper and
Okay.
like some little light. And it works, but it just has a little crack in it. So they were like, well, we got to fix it. And then
Yeah.
it didn't even dent it. Like they just got to like paint it, like buff it and stuff. But they said they only needed it 2 days. So they were like, do you need a rental? I was like, I live in Atlanta. You know, we Uber everywhere. Like I don't need a rental car for 2 days. Like I'll live. So.
Washington, they have it for 2 weeks, and it's like, yeah, we needed to take the whole entire car apart, take the engine out.
No, it's not that bad. Thank God. And I had to go over there and like, knock on the neighbor's door. And they're gay and they're married and they're a couple. So I have to go over to like my gay
Well, you
neighbors
have to
and be
go over there and
like,
tell them that you hit their car, right?
I'm like, I've got that cute little smile on my face, like I'm showing you right now. And I knock on the, well, I hit their little ring, and I'm like sitting there waiting. And like, I know they're looking at the camera and I'm like getting like my cheekbones going and like, smiling with my giddy little like, hey. And they're like, hey, Josh, what's up? And I'm like, hey, how are you guys doing? And they're like, hey, well, how are you, hon? And I'm like, well, there's been a little incident. And they're just like, what, hon? And I'm
Oh,
like, well, I
great.
hit your Tesla. Like, sorry.
Your Tesla is dead. I'm sorry. Good Lord. Did you do
Never
any
liked Teslas
damage to your
either.
Tesla?
You know what? No,
No.
they've got it's I barely scratched up their bumper. I mean, I was pulling in honestly, so it's like so minor, but I mean, it's just a little bit of paint, on
So
both,
really,
not
you
how
just did this to yourself, really, if anything.
pretty much. Well, I mean, they'll still have to get theirs painted, but it's not that major, so just a few
Hopefully, you pay
scratches.
for it. That's all I have
Oh, I'm paying for it,
to
of course.
right?
What else is new?
Oh man, oh man. But along with you wrecking your car ever so slightly, you also had a visit from one of your good friends down there, right?
Yes, I have a girlfriend and I call her Ammo. And that's her nickname. And it has been forever. So we have known each other for 10 years, randomly met through work. And you know how
Okay.
you have like those work friends that become like best friends? And you don't even work together anymore, but you're still super tight. So she got to come to Atlanta. And then we got to meet one of our other friends that we started off with together when we all
Okay.
started working together. And she came
So
over
you're all working at the
Friday
same
night.
place then at the
Now
time?
we're all at different companies. This is
Yeah.
so crazy.
Okay.
We're all at different companies, but we all started together. So this is like
Yeah.
10 years later, it's like Sex in the City and then the like, and just like that, now it's like 10 years later and we're all like back together and minus the Samantha, because there was one of us. I'm not gonna say any names, but she was part of the crew too. But she kind of went bye-bye, kind of like
We
Samantha
don't
did in
talk
Sex
about
and the
her anymore.
Nope. So there used to be four of us. Now there's
Okay.
three of us. So, but then we went and saw the ladies for brunch, and then she wanted to have a gay old time in the gayborhood. So she hadn't been to the gayborhood in Atlanta. She's been here a lot for work. So this is the first time I got to take her like to the gayborhood and to get to go to like all the gay bars. And we literally like did a mad dash all over the city, like get a drink here, run next door to this bar, grab an Uber, go over here. Like, I mean, we hit up as many as we could. So
how did it go
really,
over?
Really good time. Huh?
How did it go over?
Oh, it went wonderful. We had a wonderful time. Oh my gosh, it was so much fun. The only reason we didn't go, we finally called it quits after a while because she was, you know, she's a female. And I mean, with her shoes, it was getting later and we have walked all over Midtown in Atlanta and eventually her feet were starting to hurt. So
well, wouldn't that be like the same thing with gay men too? It's like my heels hurt.
Right. She was like, one of her feet was really hurting. And then I knew, and it was funny because we went shopping the next day and we did some outlet mall shopping. And after about 2 hours, you know, she said something about her foot too. And I was like, it's from all that walking, you know, we were power walking all over Midtown, you know, we were hitting all the gay bars, you know, like
these high heels are killing me. Well, where's my Watson, right?
It was so much fun though. We had a really good time and we took a bunch of pictures and saw so many different people and all aspects of gay life, you know, which is so much fun. You know,
yeah, it's like if it's like one of those situations where I know I'm gonna be walking for a long time, I bring tennis shoes with me if I had to wear dress shoes. Because I'm not gonna like those dress shoes forever.
No. She's a diva. We weren't gonna go out on town and and sneakers, Joe. Come on. You are such an obvious, like, masculine gay man. Like, she's a lady.
We're not going to be practical. We're going to be fashionable.
Exactly. It's all about fashion. You got to look good, darling. Who cares if it hurts? You know, you got to look good. Beauty is pain.
As I've gotten older, I've lost that aspect about me there about being fashionable. It's kind of like I'm more comfortable now, right?
Well, I did lose my new shirt. It was so funny. We get back. She goes to bed and there's a circuit party. Okay. And we had this thing called the Peach Party that was on Saturday. So I could decide to go back out.
Oh, so by yourself then.
Yeah. So she said, okay, go ahead and go. Cause some of my friends were messaging and I was like, okay. So then I changed into this like mesh see-through shirt and I hop an Uber at like 3 in the morning, go to this circuit party. That's nothing but like, you know, house music, circuit, you know, techno, just boom. Like everybody's running around in jock straps and just like no clothes. Yeah. And I mean, it was just fabulous. It was so much fun. Fog machines, laser lights, you know, everybody's like just drunk. Everybody's just tripping, doing whatever.
So you're wearing that mesh shirt, right?
Yes.
And what else were you wearing? A jock strap?
Jeans.
Okay.
Jeans. And I don't know what underwear I was wearing. This is the
because you probably
part.
Weren't wearing underwear, right?
I don't remember.
I don't remember because I wasn't wearing any.
But here's the funny thing is that that's the first time I wore that shirt, right?
Okay.
So of course we start dancing and you know, the shirt goes bye-bye.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like, at least I had an undershirt on, a little bit of an undershirt on underneath.
Like a tank top or something like that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then that went bye-bye. So, I mean, I had them both like kind of tucked into the back of my pants. I ended up losing the mesh shirt.
Oh, no.
So I wore it out for all of like an hour. And I know it's sitting in the dance floor or somebody's like snagged it or something. Well, then one of my other friends is there and he lost his shirt. So then my friend turns around and we walk out at 6:30 in the morning. The sun is up. And I'm in like this little tank top and like he has no shirt. And guess what? His name's Josh too.
Oh no. Yeah.
And he looks at both of us and he's like, it's like, are y'all ready to go? Yeah.
Yeah.
But at least I have my tank top, you know, that's why I always try to wear something underneath because then at least at the end of the night, I still had something to put back on when we did walk outside because it was bright and sunny. It was 6:30 in the morning, baby. So.
Well, it's good to know that these shitty people exist everywhere, right? Just not in Pittsburgh. But anyways, here, we're going to go ahead and take a break. And so coming up next in the news, we're going to talk about the AFL, not the American Football League, but the Australian Football League. They've been sanctioned for homophobic slurs. And Target's reducing the amount of stores selling Pride merchandise this year. As the Straight Cast continues after this. Hey there, listener. Did you know about Audible? Audible lets you enjoy all your audio entertainment in one app. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from bestsellers and new releases to celebrity memoirs, mysteries and thrillers, motivation, wellness, business, and more. You'll discover exclusive Audible originals from top celebrities, renowned experts, and exciting new voices in audio. Audible also includes thousands of podcasts, from popular favorites to exclusive new series. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month and keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Members also get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and podcasts. You can download or stream their included titles all you want. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anywhere, anytime, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores. You decide. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Go to audibletrial.com/NSC. That's audibletrial.com/NSC.
If ensuring speed and security for your sites is really a top priority for you, then search no further than Vox Onyx's shared website hosting plans. They use SSD-powered servers and provide numerous site acceleration tools that make your website's load noticeably faster. Additionally, they deploy ZFS data storage to shield your website contents from corruption. Also, they will manage the task of migrating all the websites you need to their system, absolutely free of cost. Get started now by going to voxonyx.com. That's VOXONX.com.
It's time for the news. So our first story today here talks about the Australian Football League, which neither one of us know anything about, right?
No.
But this we do know about, though. Homophobia in sports. So the Australian Football League has punished yet another player for using homophobic language on the field of play, with the league's disciplinary chief, Stephen Mead, saying that it's an extremely disappointing situation. So Will Powell, a defender for the Gold Coast Suns, has been banned for 5 matches after admitting the use of a slur during last Sunday's defeat to the Brisbane Lions. The Gold Coast Bulletin has reported the 24-year-old called an opponent a f***, the same insult that led to Port Adelaide's Jeremy Finlayson being suspended last month for 3 matches. That was a harsher punishment that had been handed down to North Melbourne coach Alistair Clarkson in February for uttering the word cocksucker during an argument with the St. Kilda players in a preseason game. Clarkson was fined $20,000 Australian, but avoided a touchline ban. Powell's weekend misdemeanor hadn't been publicly known until Thursday, with the Suns publishing a video of him delivering the profuse apology to the camera alongside an official statement. Powell went on to apologize to all the appropriate groups that it may have affected, and then he said he was speaking from the heart. He also vowed to educate himself and claimed that he would seek support from his club and those around him to do that. Suns CEO Mark Evans said, "Will's comment was completely unacceptable and in no way reflects what we stand for as a football club." On LGBTQ equality, Australia often appears to be striding ever forward. However, the seemingly readiness of a few of those in his favorite sports to reach for anti-gay slurs is still holding everyone else back. It's also alarming when clubs and leagues at any level fail to carry news of these incidents, but the AFL can no longer avoid such scrutiny. Mike O'Donnell, who plays in the Sydney League and is a rare voice on such matters and Aussie rules as an out gay man, said on Twitter, "Do we look at this as a rise in homophobic language in the AFL, or is it simply that these sort of comments are now being recognized for what they are? I suspect it's the latter, but 3 within a season, and the consequences have been made clear, is deeply concerning." So, yeah, I mean, kind of like really strikes me odd. It's kind of like, being homophobic in sports, but at least now, at least the officials are calling it out for what it is.
And especially in Australia, because it's like, they're very open, you know, in Australia. So that's why it kind of is interesting to see that this happened in Australia. I mean, of course, we have this kind of stuff happen right here in the U.S. all the time. Yeah. But I mean, Australia's always been a very open, you know, place for gay folk, like, for the most part. And I'm just, it's kind of sad. I mean, because people idolize sports, you know, and that's what kids watch growing up. And they idolize their sports stars and their heroes. And when they see this kind of stuff in the news, and, you know, it's just hate.
I just think the whole entire issue of homophobia in sports is kind of odd there, because obviously, for example, you don't see much in the way of out football stars. Maybe there's like one person that you know of,
Right. Exactly. You don't hear about it a
Yeah.
lot.
Because, I mean, as much as like you would like things to be, equal and open to everybody, they're not quite yet when it comes to at
Exactly.
least sports,
Especially sports.
Well, especially like soccer, American football, and of course, what we're talking about here, Australian football, rugby,
Right. Well, I mean, I think that they should be fined and that they should be getting penalties. And I mean, I see that they're apologizing, but it's like
But the amount of
that's too
penalties
little,
all in those
too.
seasons, it's kind of like it's kind
Right.
of
That's three that you mentioned. So
Yeah.
three in one season is that's a little much, you know?
And the problem is that, it's just not the players, it's the coach. It's kind of the whole entire culture there is just bad and basically needs to be, something needs to be done about that.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, it's just frustrating to watch this. It's kind of like, can we move past this,
Yeah, it's 2024, so
Yeah.
like any day, like
Stop calling people the F word,
And the other, I was like, oh my gosh, like
Behave yourselves, basically, is what I'm saying, It's like you're
yeah.
paid to do this here,
And they make so much money. That's the thing. When you're an idol and you're a role model and you get paid that kind of money, you think that you would put your filter up. Not to mention you have so many people around you. You have publicists, you have coaches, you have so many people, your fans, you have all these people that support you and that are in like your tribe, so to speak. And like what you do can obviously affect all of them. Like
It's kind of like you and I going to work and then getting on a Zoom call and like unleashing like a barrage of like swearing and racial epithets and everything there and expecting to keep our jobs. It ain't gonna happen.
Right. Like if you did this at work or if I did
Yeah.
something like this at work and use this kind of language,
Cut.
the next
We're
call would be
done.
with HR. It would be all of 5 minutes and it'd be like, bye. Like, nice knowing you.
Yeah, enjoy your new position at a different company.
Yeah. And everything would just shut down and it'd be bye, peace out. But, we come to idolize sports and we look at them as celebrities. And it's always just a little like smack on the hand, So,
As they say, never meet your idols.
right? Very true.
See,
Very, very true.
I'm one of those people, I'm kind of trying to figure out why people idolize these people because they are human beings just like everybody else, and they have their faults.
Right. And that's how I feel too, because I've met like some people get so starstruck about celebrities. And I love celebrities and I love pop culture and everything like that. But at the end of the day, they're just regular folks like me and you. And
But you're not a super fan, right?
no, I wouldn't say I'm like a super, super fan.
I mean, you have your favorites like everybody else
Yeah.
does.
Everybody has like their favorite, especially in gay
Yeah.
culture. We all have like a favorite diva or, even in sports, like, growing up, a lot of boys always like, I used to teach, like the kids always loved a certain like basketball player or they always liked a certain like group or a certain like musician or, and it's just though they've got to really watch what they do because they don't realize that with their celebrity comes that purpose, to have people look up to you and to be that role model. And these people idolize you. And if they see you misbehaving and then you just get off with this very light punishment, they just laugh about it and laugh it off. And then they're going to go about in regular life thinking they can do the same thing. And just like you said, if we did something like this, it'd be like, here's your pink slip. Peace.
Yeah, it's kind of like what I
Welcome
was talking
to
about at the
Adam.
beginning of the show there. It's kind of like, in Pittsburgh's gay community there's all these people who are possibly in slightly higher positions of power than, the rest of us plebs. And, it's kind of like, I don't know one of them that hasn't behaved badly, to be honest with you, to some extent, it's just kind of annoying to watch, especially when the news becomes public. It's kind of like, I told you so, you didn't
And
want to
you've
listen to
known
me.
it.
Yeah,
Yeah, when you, especially
exactly.
when you've known it all those years and then it finally comes to light and it's like, oh, I've been waiting for that for like 5 years,
So there's a sense there in kind of being ignorant about there, which is kind of like why it's like it's nice to not know too much about this here. It's kind of like, for example, it's like you and I are going to a concert whenever I come down there in July. New Kids in the Block, Paul Abdul, DJ Jazzy Jeff. I don't know a lot about like any three of them. which I think is I'm dragging for the him best.
To all the listeners, I am dragging him because one of my last concerts in Pittsburgh before I left was random, and I went to New Kids on the Block, and that time they were with Salt and Pepper and En Vogue, and it was so much fun. And I wasn't even. Some people are older than I know, but anyway.
But you know a lot about Paula Abdul, right? Which is probably the reason why we're going to this here.
Yep, and that's why I wanted to go.
Too much about her, right?
Yeah, I don't. I know her music, and I know like growing up with her and stuff, but it's not like I follow every single thing she says or like follow her on Twitter or like every you know, like I'm definitely a fan, but not.
So allegedly, if she's on drugs on stage, you'll be able to point that out to me.
Well, my favorite, one of my favorite Paula moments. This is not her best time. And then she'd been up all night and got on this like radio show in like Houston or something. I can't remember. And she, or really, they should have let her get a win. And they thought she was having interference with like her headset or like the mic and stuff. But she had just really like tied one on, really hadn't been to bed yet. So everybody was just kind of like left in shock, you know? It's kind of funny. It's kind of comical, you know?
But you would think somebody, you know, being that rich there would have their handlers be like, no, you know?
That's what I said. I was like, why wasn't somebody saying something like, you can't do this, you know? Like, why did somebody not call cancel? Because here we had Anita Baker just this past weekend. Everybody goes to the stadium. And guess what? She canceled 15 minutes before she was supposed to come on stage. This is on Saturday night. I think it was Saturday night. Yeah. Before Mother's Day. So a lot of people had bought these tickets for their mother.
And a lot of people were pissed off, right?
A lot of people were livid. It's all over the internet. It's crazy. So it just goes to show you, like, when you're a celebrity, what you do. I mean, you can't just, because, I mean, she lost a ton of fans from that. Just like these people, when they do things like this, I hope they realize that it can come back to haunt them.
With great power comes great responsibility, as they say.
Right. So. Exactly.
So anyways, there, our next story there talks about Pride, which is coming up next month there. I guess Target, though, is kind of like, you know, succumbing to, you know, all the critics, right?
Yes, definitely, Joe. So Target retail stores will only sell Pride-themed gear in about half of its estimated 1,897 stores across the United States this year, following that conservative backlash against its LGBTQ-themed clothing and products during Pride Month in 2023, which I'm sure we all remember from last year. Last year, Target removed some items from its store and made other changes to its LGBTQ merchandise nationwide ahead of Pride Month after intense reaction from some customers who confronted workers and tipped over displays. Yes, I remember seeing this all over the news.
Republicans, huh? They were complaining? Shocker.
It got pretty bad. I felt bad for these people working at Target. So in response to this 2023 collection, the conservatives falsely claimed... This is what gets me, that Target was selling satanic-themed apparel created by a transgender designer, leading to threats against the designer. So employees at one Arizona store kicked out a bigot who called Target's Pride merchandise satanic pride propaganda. Target was... wow. But
yeah, I need that as a sound effect.
Target was also accused of selling tucking swimsuits to children, even though, mind you, the swimsuit in question was only being sold in adult sizes. Target also moved displays to the back of the stores in certain southern locations last year. But Target faced a second backlash from pro-LGBTQ customers upset by the discount retailer's reaction to aggressive anti-LGBTQ activism. Civil rights groups scolded the company for caving to customers who expressed outrage over the gender-fluid bathing suits it carried last year. The anti-LGBTQ customers also posted threatening videos on social media from inside the stores, which I remember seeing this, and it was wild. I felt so bad.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, you know, they have a right to be criticized when they're not standing up for what they're promoting. You know, they're promoting Pride merchandise, right. So it's kind of like, you know, if the Pride community, you know, if the LGBT community is getting attacked, you should be, you know, defending them, you know?
Right.
You guys are right. We're going to reduce the amount of merchandise we sell because of this.
Right. And it comes down to the bottom line, which is the dollar. But Target's latest moves are just another example of how companies are struggling to cater to different groups of customers at a time of extreme cultural divides, particularly around transgender rights.
So instead of standing up for, so you're going to be like, we need to make more money, so we're going to try not offending anybody.
Right. So Target's move to scale back its presence of Pride merchandise for this year isn't unexpected, of course. Last August, CEO Brian Cornell, told reporters that Target learned from the backlash and said the company would be more thoughtful about merchandise decisions.
No homo.
That celebrate the achievements of marginalized groups.
No homo.
Target said it would have a... You're killing me.
I'm sorry.
Target said it would have a slightly more focused assortment and will reconsider the mix of its own and national brands with its external partners. Cornell said, as we navigate our ever-changing operating and social environment, we're applying what we've learned to ensure we're staying close to our guests and their expectations of Target.
Yeah, basically, so, let's not piss off the anti-gay folks there, because they won't spend their money either. And we need people to spend money no matter what, you know?
Well, they're afraid they're going to go to Walmart, honey.
Right,
especially in the South. Oh, my gosh. You know,
to buy their NASCAR t-shirts. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm taking stereotypes there, but yeah.
They're like, oh, really? Just go on to Wally World.
Good Lord.
But that's so sad, because Target, I was really proud of them when they did that. And they have always been so good in the past. And it's just finally gotten, like, last year was just like the tipping point. And I did feel bad in a way for the employees that were being like, literally like ridiculed and threatened and harassed. And, you know, so, I mean, I can understand there's some safety to it, but then it's like basically scaling back on it. What does that say to the gay community? Like, and it's obviously saying like, we're going to cater now, saying, oh, well, we're not going to cater to any community. Like, we're just going to cater to everybody, you know? And
yeah,
I think it's a bad move personally. But
I agree with you 100%. Yeah. I think it's kind of like one of those things where it's kind of like, it felt like we made so much progress forward, now all of a sudden it's kind of like we're getting retreated back, you know.
I liked walking into Target right at Pride time, and there was all this Pride merchandise, and it was so nice to see that kind of stuff, because you didn't see it at Walmart, you know.
Right.
And you could walk into Target and it was like inclusive, and it felt like I was being represented. And then now all of a sudden the CEO is just like, we've learned from our mistake, you know, we're not gonna do anything about heritage.
The biggest aren't spending money here, you know, so we're gonna go ahead here. We're gonna keep it to them.
Walmart's profit shares were up. Oh my God. We lost money to Walmart. So
yeah,
we've got to take back Pride.
Anyways, we're gonna go ahead and we're taking our break there. And coming up next here, we're gonna talk about another company, Anheuser-Busch, who's not gonna stay in its own lane. We're also going to talk about Texas school bands as well. They're gone astray. As Not Straight Guest continues after this.
The Kaya is a fresh new approach to LGBT plus travel. One focused entirely on the guest experience and creating memorable, bespoke travel experiences to amazing destinations with stellar entertainment and world-class hospitality. The Kaya charters entire ships and resorts so that their LGBT plus travelers have the freedom to express their individuality, make personal connections, celebrate life, rev up, or simply relax together. View your Vikaya dreams with their e-newsletter or book a vacation by visiting nsc.lgbt/VACAYA.
Did you know that Not Straight Radio is now available on your smart speaker? Just tell Alexa, play Not Straight Radio.
Really? You want to listen to that crap?
Not Straight Radio, now available on your smart speaker. Welcome back to Not Straight Cat. You like that ad, don't you, Josh?
Yes, I do. I always laugh.
About the Not Straight Radio.
If y'all could see my face every time.
Like every time that ad comes on there, yeah, you're kind of like, ha. It's funny.
I do I like that. It. That's my favorite one. I just like it. I don't know.
So there's that ad. There's the Go F Yourself ad.
I like that one too. But that last one's my favorite. It's number one.
that one's a little less crass than the other one there. Yeah, but
it has a special place in my heart. Every so seriously, in my heart.
if you want to listen to our most recent podcast, you know, on a radio style station, that's what Not Straight Radio is, actually. So go to nsc.lgbt/radio. So yeah, we're going to give it more advertisement there because it needs all the help it can get.
And listen to Joe and me.
On there, we also have like hourly newscasts. They're actually usually updated there every few hours. So that's another reason why I listen to it too. So they keep up what's going outside, you know, the LGBT community as well. So we have those as well. But anyways, getting back to what we were talking about, the next story here, you know, like that whole entire situation with Bud Light in Illinois.
The Bud Light.
Remember that whole entire situation that happened whenever they
The biggest thing I remember is Kid Rock. The biggest thing I remember is Kid Rock coming out of nowhere, and I forgot who Kid Rock even existed, and shooting some gun and shooting up Bud Light and seeing, and I didn't even know. That's all I saw. And then I had to like, that's the first thing that got me to pay attention to the story was seeing Kid Rock shooting Bud Light. And I was like, what is this? You know? And
then a month later,
so Bud Light he's back?
Drinking it again. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. And then I saw something. Yeah. I was shooting him at a concert drinking it. And I'm like, go figure, you know?
So after the immense backlash that they endured over its partnership with trans influencer Dylan Mulvaney, it seems like the brand has decided the best course of action from here on out is to avoid supporting anyone or anything that could make people angry. That sounds a lot like Target, doesn't it?
It does sound like Target.
So Bud Light will now stay in its own lane. Jason Warner, the CEO of European branch of Bud Light's parent company, Anheuser-Busch, InBev, said. Warner said the company plans to avoid all controversial issues because when people are drinking Bud Light, they don't want to think about anything but fun. He added that the immense backlash to the company's partnership with Mulvaney is something that wouldn't happen with other products. There were very few categories in the world where people care that much, he said. I don't think people look at mayonnaise that way, but they certainly care about their beer. The brand's brief partnership with Mulvaney not only angered the anti-LGBTQ folks, but it ended up causing outrage within the LGBT community itself due to what many felt as the company's disappointing response to the hate and its failure to stand up for Mulvaney. On April 1st, Mulvaney posted a 50-second video Instagram showing off some custom Bud Light cans with her face on them as part of a brand partnership with the beer company. In response, conservatives posted videos of themselves dumping out Bud Light beer, shooting up cases of it, like you mentioned there with Kid Rock doing that.
Kid Rock.
Like the Republicans claim that Mulvaney was a pedophile without any obvious evidence, and said that the global balance of powers would be upset by Mulvaney's Instagram video. Others said that they were boycotting Bud Light, often switching to other LGBTQ-friendly brands. Republican Senators Ted Cruz and Marsha Blackburn opened a probe into the brand partnership, alleging it violated advertising rules because people under the legal drinking age might have seen the beer can video. Seriously? And if I could just play that buzzer noise for like a good 2 minutes without anybody getting annoyed by it there, I would, because it's kind of like, gee, you know, people so underage seeing beer ads? Oh my God.
I know. Just like the cigarettes. Oh my God. You know?
Right, yeah, that too. Oh my God, our poor eyes, our poor kids can't see this, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think it's crazy that they're saying this now too. So it's like, I think what we see here is not only Target, we were just talking about, like even Bud Light, you know? Everybody's too afraid to take a stand. We are at that cultural divide right now where people are too afraid to like...
Because they end up pissing off everybody there because Anheuser-Busch's weak response to the backlash led to anger among LGBTQ folks. The company released a statement in April 2023 saying that it never intended to be part of the discussion and divide people. We are in the business of bringing people together over a beer. Meanwhile, Mulvaney said that she was having trouble sleeping after becoming the target of so much hatred for the past month and a half, leading to criticism of Anheuser-Busch that left her out to dry. In response to all this here, several LGBTQ bars stopped serving Bud Light. Colorado's Democratic gay governor Jared Polis announced his lifelong boycott of the brand, and the human rights campaign kicked Anheuser-Busch off the top of its corporate equality index, a measure of various companies' LGBT plus inclusive workplace practices. And the collective anger at Bud Light caused the company to lose about $1.4 billion. So all in all we have to say is money talks and bullshit walks.
Right.
Yeah, because of the fact that the company was losing money, they consider the LGBTQ cause to be bullshit. and thus it's going to walk, and thus in that case they're going to be basically doing everything they can to make money and not actually supporting, you know, anything that could possibly, you know, be good for, you know, society as a whole there, you know.
Right, because they did the same thing as Target. It's like, okay, we took a stand.
Yeah, and now that we're losing money, we're not
going to take a stand anymore. We lost money.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, now we're just going to stay silent. We're just staying out of everything. You know, we're not going to support anything. We're just going to not focus on any marginalized groups or anything like that.
It sounds like they're being more opportunistic than anything else there. It's basically, if we can make money at this, we're going to go ahead and make money at it there. But once we stop making money,
but once we stop making the money, then they turn, then they change things up. I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. Just like with the, you know, because then everybody was like, oh my gosh, I was proud of Bud Light for doing that, you know? And
yeah,
I was really proud. And then all of a sudden, you know, when they started like kind of taking a step back, I was like, ugh. I was like, here they go, you know, because they were losing money, you know, and that's exactly what happened. So,
yeah, in this case here, the biggest of one yet again, you know, so it's kind of like, okay, whatever.
It's like two steps forward, two steps back. So,
but it's just a matter of, you know, it's kind of like you can't support them out of principle. You only support them because they make you money.
Exactly. And as soon as we don't make you money, then it's like, bye. Right. Don't need you anymore. But thank you for those record sharing profits, you know?
Exactly.
Your time has come and gone. And just like they did to, you know, her, they just left her out to dry, you know? And I mean, she faced a lot of backlash after this. So I can imagine her having trouble sleeping after seeing everybody blowing up Bud Light and shooting it up and just, you know, the craziness. And then they just walked away from it, you know? So.
Yeah, and it wasn't like the case there where, you know, number one, you could argue that maybe the beer company should not be in the, you know, should not be in the business of supporting any cause whatsoever, which in this case is smart of them for doing that there. But on the other hand there too, it's kind of like, this is different, you know, supporting human beings' right to be who they want to be. And that's where the problem. You know, whenever it was kind of like they did this here because, you know, they were saying they were trying to do things good for the community, but in this case, they're trying to increase their profits and it backfired on them. You know, they all said decided to show their true colors and be like, well, no, you know, no, we don't want to be part of this.
Yeah, when they saw that they lost $1.4 billion, they were like, oh, we're over the gays. But yet,
exactly.
Go to a lot of gay bars and there's still that Bud Light in rainbow, you know, and there's been a rep there that's, you know, selling them the Bud Light and it's still in stock and, you know, they still promote it at the gay bars. But, you know, you got to realize the straight folk don't go to the gay bars. So.
Well, I drink Miller Lite, but anyways.
Honey, I'll drink whatever anybody wants to give me at this point. I'm like, beer is beer. I mean, not necessarily, but you know what I'm saying? Like.
Well, at this point, I'm drinking Dad Light, you know, not Bud Light.
Like Miller, whatever, Bud Light, I don't care. Like, it's a damn beer. But it was nice to see some, you know, support.
Well, I think all the people can agree that Coors Light tastes like piss water.
I don't like Coors.
Yeah, nobody likes Coors.
I'm glad you could say that. Because I'm not trying to go against Coors or anything. I love you, Coors, but at the same time, I hate your beer. It's like, I don't know. I've never liked it. Always thought it tastes nasty. Yeah.
No,
it tastes like piss. You know,
well, you know, crack yourself open a Keystone Light. You know, let's continue on here.
Okay.
Natty Lice. There you go.
I'm going to go grab a Bud Light for the next segment. So.
But anyways, the next story we're talking about here actually has something that's near and dear to your heart, which is books.
Yep. Publishing, definitely. So, and I can definitely believe this one. A former far-right Texas school board member who promised to stop LGBTQ indoctrination in her local school district is now speaking out against the extremist members of her own Republican Party who are hell-bent on banning books, defunding schools, and electing ultra-right members to school boards. She has received death threats for opposing the party's efforts. Courtney Gore, a self-described small-town conservative Christian values, Republican patriot, and activist who co-hosts a right-wing online talk show ran a successful campaign to get elected to the board of Granbury Independent School District in Texas. Right-wing media had repeatedly told her about inappropriate teachings in public schools, and she wanted to help end it. However, once she won the seat, she took over hundreds of pages of GISD lesson plans for evidence of critical race theory, LGBTQ indoctrination, and social emotional learning, something that Christian conservatives say encourages kids to question gender roles and prioritize feelings over biblical teachings. She found no evidence of these things. Instead, she thought the materials taught children how to be a good friend and a good human. When she shared her findings with the hardliners who had encouraged her to run for the school board, she said they were indifferent and dismissive because it didn't fit the narrative that they were trying to push. She now feels that she was used as part of the statewide Republican efforts to weaken support of public schools and lay the groundwork for a voucher system that gives taxpayer funds to public schools while allowing them to avoid government oversight and reject any students with impunity. At GISD, a volunteer review committee of parents and district employees recommended returning all the removed books back to the shelves. Gore agreed with the recommendation, but others wanted GISD to remove even more books and said that the district was allowing kids to view pornography. Oh, wow. In June 8, 2022, in a Facebook post, she responded, "I refuse to be someone's puppet, and I refuse to be told what to do, what to say, or how to vote. I refuse to participate in any agenda that will dismantle or abolish public education." Gore has since continued to speak out against far-right extremism in her Republican Party, saying that the party's attempts to abolish public education in favor of school vouchers will harm children. She and local Republicans have formed a group opposing her political party's ultra-right rhetoric, saying it is more interested in administering purity tests and stroking divisive politics rather than helping the community.
Isn't it just amazing that it's kind of like Republicans, you know, seem to always have this, you know, ulterior motive to want to, you know, introduce something that's not good for anybody?
Right. And the crazy thing here, though, is that she is a Republican, right?
Yeah, but she was kind of like enough's enough there. It's kind of like, you know, she's very moderate, I guess you could say, in her views, right?
Yeah. And being a former teacher, I mean, she looked over the lesson plans.
Yeah. She was like, there's nothing wrong with these.
And she was looking for, you know, critical race theory, which I hear all the time in the publishing world. Mm-hmm. LGBTQ, of course, SEL, which is social emotional learning. And this is something that, you know, in the Bible Belt, especially, you get these Christian conservatives saying, you know, they get kids to question the gender roles, you know, prioritize their feelings over biblical teachings. But then she's turned around and said, "I found no evidence of this." So she's like, "I found good things instead. And they're teaching kids to be a good friend and a good human," which is exactly what I see all the time. Because I really don't know where all this banning the books is. I mean, it is coming from the Republican Party and the far right, but.
Yeah, because they want to implement school vouchers, you know, as opposed
to. But it is kind of interesting to see that she kind of took a stand against her own party here. She actually went in there and took the time, unlike any of them, to look at the lesson plans and mm-hmm. then come out and say, "I see no evidence of this."
Well, apparently the story goes on, you know, which we didn't talk about that much there, but apparently she started getting threatened by members of that part of the ultra conservative community. So it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like they put her in the crosshairs now that she decides that, yeah, maybe the Democrats were right. Maybe everybody else with a sane sense of mind was correct in saying that, yeah, this doesn't actually promote these things here. This is just promoting how to be a good human being.
Right. And that's the one thing, too, that I kind of like, in a way, you have to admire her for going against her own party.
Well, I mean, I'm starting to think that she has critical thinking skills and she can be like, yeah,
that she
what
can
they're
think,
saying is not
yeah,
correct
she
here.
She was kind of like, you know, the party seeing this, she gets in there, she looks at everything and says, "I don't really see anything wrong, you know?" And then, right. Boom, you know, like they automatically are like, "Oh my God, we hate you." You know, like oh yeah. My gosh, let's
because you don't agree with our preconceived notions there of what is right and what is wrong, you know? So, and obviously what you're, you know, what you're saying here is wrong, you know, and I'm going to challenge you. Thus, in this case here, we're going to basically say that, no, you're wrong, you know?
Right. It is kind of interesting, though, to see that she actually formed a group, though, you know, opposing,
which is good,
you know, her political party's ultra-right rhetoric. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, maybe a step in the right direction, I would assume, you know, to see that you know, for her to go in and actually look at the things, you know, that her party keeps, you know, complaining about.
There is a video from like 1980, and it's basically, I guess, George Bush, like the original George Bush, who was our president.
Oh, the original. Gotcha. Yeah, gotcha. Senior. Like,
and not his son. And Ronald Reagan, and they were discussing immigration. And you would think, you know, these are two Republicans talking about something that nowadays is a very political issue. But they were talking about it back then there, and they were being completely, utterly sane about it there. And I don't think you could have that type of discussion nowadays.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. Yeah, with our politics being so divisive now. Yeah. Used to see the days when you could have, like, you know, Democrats and Republicans agree on the same things or be opposed to the same things, you know, or come to a conclusion and not have to, like, scream and yell and trash and bash each other. And the extremism is just so extreme now. It's like one or the other. There is no in between.
There's no bipartisanship. Yeah.
Right. There really isn't, which is really sad. Yes. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we all really need to come together. And it seems like we're just pretty much, when you look at all these stories, you know, it just keeps showing how much more divisive we're getting as a nation when we should be, you know, coming together. Given it's 2024, and I mean, here we are, like, going back to a lot of stuff that's, you know, it's just basically history repeating itself.
Stuff is going backwards. Yeah, it's not good.
Yep.
But anyways, here, we're going to go ahead not here. Good. We're going to take our final break. And when we come back, we're going to have our memo conclusion as Not a Straight Cast continues after this.
Couplet is passionate about specialty coffee. Queer woman owned and built for everyone, Couplet was created to make great coffee more fun and approachable. They skip the pretentious tasting notes and gatekeeping and get right to the good part. Ridiculously delicious coffee you can prepare however the f*** you like. Shop online at nsc.lgbt/coffee. That's nsc.lgbt/COFFEE.
Want to support Not a Straight Cast? Well, you can. Visit the notastraightcast.com/store, where you can get Not a Straight Cast t-shirts, hats, bags, coffee mugs, and much, much more. Along with getting some snazzy merchandise, your purchase in the Not a Straight Cast store also helps support the show. Visit notastraightcast.com/store. That's notastraightcast.com/store.
And now it's time for Moment of Conclusion. Yes. So today's Moment of Conclusion is about Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, wow. So, Ellen. Yeah.
Ellen has hinted that she will address the allegations of racism, sexual misconduct, and intimidation behind the scenes of her daytime talk show in her upcoming Netflix comedy special. She also said the special will be her last. Netflix recently announced the currently untitled special is set to drop later this year and will be DeGeneres' second for the streaming platform after 2018's Relatable. To answer the questions everyone's asked me, yes, I'm going to talk about it. Yes, this is my last special. Yes, Portia really is that pretty in real life, the out 66-year-old comic said in a statement. DeGeneres is no doubt referring to a series of reports published by BuzzFeed News in 2020, which former employees of the Ellen DeGeneres Show alleged that the Emmy-winning host had overseen a toxic workplace rife with racism, sexual harassment, and bullying. Prior to the BuzzFeed stories, DeGeneres' reputation as the Queen of Nice had already taken a major hit, as stories of the comedian being mean began proliferating on Twitter. Staff on our show also began speaking out about their mistreatment during the COVID-19 pandemic. DeGeneres ended her syndicated talk show after 19 years on the air in 2022, claiming that the show was not a challenge anymore. Ahead of the new Netflix special, DeGeneres also announced a multi-city stand-up tour beginning in June. But she's already started testing material in April. She sounded both sour and mournful on stage at the Largo at the Cornet Theater in West Hollywood. "I got kicked out of show business," she told the crowd, according to Rolling Stone. "For those of you keeping score, this is the second time I've been kicked out of show business. Eventually, they're going to kick me out for a third time because I'm mean, old, and gay," DeGeneres joked, referring to the cancellation of her 90s sitcom Ellen after she came out. I'm giving stuff away, and I danced, and then I was mean, and they didn't like me again, she continued. It's such a been a tool of my ego and my self-esteem. There's such extremes in this business. People either love you and idolize you, or they hate you, and those people somehow are louder. It was so hurtful, she told the crowd during a post-show Q&A. I couldn't gain perspective. I couldn't do anything to make myself understand that it wasn't personal. I just thought, well, this is not the way I wanted to end my career, but this is the way that it's ending. Honestly, I'm making jokes about what happened to me, but it was devastating, really, she added. I just hated the way the show ended. I loved the show so much, and I just hated the last time people would see me is this way. Once again, people in privilege and power are screwing up. And then they're surprised that they get canceled over it there.
And that one's sad, too, because everybody adored.
So she said she was joking here. What did I say in that statement of her talking that was a joke? It's more of a sad realization that maybe, hey, I'm a human being. I'm not infallible. And maybe I should start being nice to people instead of being an asshole. Like she was.
I think this is the case of, like, you know, she got so popular. You know, once she was the queen of daytime. I mean, you got to realize, I mean, she was number one there for a long time. And I think once people get that ego, they just feel like they can do anything, you know? And then when it came back to bite her, unfortunately.
And deservedly, it bited her, you know, as it should have, you know, because I'll be honest with you there. I mean, she always like rubbed me the wrong way in a sense there, not necessarily because she was mean, but because she wasn't authentic. And you could see through that.
I liked her growing up because I remember watching the show. And then I felt really bad because the show was popular. And then she basically said, I'm gay. And then the show ended.
But that was also 1995, 96 there. So she took that risk, you know.
Yes. And that was
unfortunately,
crazy.
She paid the price for it there. I feel bad about that. But
definitely. I feel bad about it. Horrible.
Yeah, I don't feel bad though about what happened to her later on, because that was deserved. You know, if you're gonna treat people like shit, expect to be canceled over that, you know.
Yeah, because I mean 19 years on the air, and I think that once you let that power get to your head and you do become number one, because she used to be more real. And I think after the years went on and you get that rep and you're number one and you're used to winning all these Emmys and you're totally on top of your game. It goes to your head. And then the way you treat people, I mean, you have to realize down deep that you're a human being and that everybody's the same and we're all equal. And
this also kind of reminds me of the whole entire situation with Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien. Remember that?
Yep. Sure.
That whenever Conan O'Brien got the Tonight Show and then Jay Leno had his 10 o'clock show.
Yes.
And, you know, the ratings weren't good for that there. And so basically NBC's solution was be like, hey, we're going to have Jay take over at the 11:35 to 12:05 a.m. slot. And then the Tonight Show is going to begin after that there. And Conan was like, no, I'm not going to deal with this here because, you know, of course, Jay is kind of like, well, hey, you know, I'll come back and do whatever you guys want me to do there. But even though, too, you know, it was kind of like, you know, the whole entire like situation with like the economy at that point was not great. And so it was either a situation that they would basically have to cut Jay Leno's salary or he had to lay people off.
Yeah, very true.
You know, they end up laying people off, I think, right?
I think they did, if I remember right.
Can't cut his salary.
Don't quote me on that, but I think they did. Because that was a very, very rough time.
The point that I was trying to get across there is kind of like, it's like, don't meet your idols there because your idols are going to inevitably end up disappointing you there because of the fact that it's kind of like, Ellen was human. Ellen made a shit ton of money.
Yes.
You know, and then basically turned against everything that, you know, we thought that she stood for, you know?
Right.
I mean, the fact that you see her, you know, hobnobbing with, you know, former President Bush, George W. Bush.
And I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, now that she's going to try to do this special and she's going to, you know, do this
money,
tour.
Money.
I know. That's the thing. But I'm wondering, like, will she sell tickets? You know, like, that's
the thing. The gays will eat it up. Like, you know, they eat up everything else there, you know, without
we'll
everything.
See. I don't know. That,
you know, it's kind of like, maybe I should
I don't
think
know. She might
this.
be giving a special to a half empty audience.
Right. Yeah.
She might be dropping the ticket prices in half. Let's see what comes of that.
But anyways, here, yeah. So apparently I've been bitchy this week here, apparently.
A little bit. Yeah. Picked up on that vibe a little bit, JoJo.
Been that kind of week for me. I don't know why, but anyways, it's kind of like, you know, there's certain things that just kind of just piss me off. But anyways, here, this has been another great Not Straight Cast. So thank you for joining me, Josh.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, JoJo. I appreciate it.
You're much as a part of the show as I am, so. Without you, there's not a show, so that's what I remind myself.
Well, let's keep it going, friend. Let's keep it going.
Thank you for listening to Not Straight Cast. Subscribe where all great podcasts are sold. Visit Not Straight Rock, which will allow you to access all the websites, Not Straight Cast, NotStraight.news, and Not Straight Radio, and NotStraightRock.com. Email us at feedback@NotStraightCast.com or record a voice message at nsc.lgbt/VM. And until next time, have a not straight one.